Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome to everyone to Indianapolis, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, indeed. Let's hear you in Benton now. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Penn State basketball tonight, the Nittany Lions at Purdue at 9. We're on beginning at 8:30 tonight after Penn State put together really a spectacular effort in the second half at both ends of the floor. They scored 47 second-half points, for goodness sakes, and won it over Ohio State 71-68 to knock Ohio State out last night. And so they advanced to get Purdue tonight. Earlier, the top seed, Illinois, was beaten by Indiana 65-63. So Indiana advances. Illinois, the top seed, is out. Right now, Iowa leads at the half over Rutgers 41-32. I know Rutgers is the four seed, but that is absolutely not an upset at all. It doesn't matter. Well, they're the five seed. The five seed upset the four. Please, no. I mean, understand basketball. No. I thought going into the tournament, Iowa was the favorite. Okay? Because they've been playing the best basketball of anybody down the stretch. I mean, yeah, they lost at Illinois, but they kind of fouled it up there, but they have been playing. I've said for 2 weeks that they might be the best team in the Big Ten. Well, yesterday they blew out Northwestern. Right now they're handling Rutgers by 9. But there'll be somebody that sits back and says, and the 5 upset the 4. Nice feel for the game. There you go. All right. So that is coming up tonight. We got Brian Tripp, Penn State hockey at Minnesota. Big Ten semifinals tomorrow night at 9. Then we'll have Jeff Byers with the first of two previews on the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Jeff's going to rejoin us again on Wednesday. So we got you covered on that end of it. Hope you enjoyed Kel Sanderson and the coaches show last night. I also thought that Seth Curry played very well last night. The guy the Sixers gave up for James Harden.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, they all deserved that one last night.
Okay, there's more than one guy in the trade. Okay, Seth Curry, I kept pointing out over and over again, Curry is a guy that's not a star, but he'll win you games because he does a lot of things really well, especially shoot the ball. He had 24 points last night. Harden had 11. So the Sixer fans, and again, because, you know, they're real. Sixer fans are real. They booed Ben Simmons on the way in. And then 2 hours later booed their own team. All right, so I thought that played out really well last night.
Well, Ben, rightfully so. And the team, rightfully so, because they stunk it up last night. Now, I'm not panicking today, but
it's a regular season NBA game.
Exactly.
And again. You're going to have games like this. They are not, okay? The Nets are a team that when they have everybody can be an upper echelon team. But they haven't had everybody, and who knows from day to day who plays for them, seriously. But they haven't beaten the Bucks. They haven't beaten the Heat. They haven't beaten the Celtics, and so far they haven't beaten the Nets. Okay? In order to be thought of as one of the favorites, you got to start getting some pelts. Well, last night they had a chance at a pelt on their home floor and got blown out. You got to start getting pelts. You just can't sit there and go, we got Harden. Yeah, it's like, you got to play. You know, that's why I try to talk about this stuff all the time. It's like, guys, I understand everybody's like, hey, look at this. Like, look, you got to show me here. You got to show me that it works. Last night it didn't work. And what, you know, Irving played fine. Durant played fine. But Seth Curry, the former Sixer, stepped up and did, guess what? What Seth Curry was doing with Philadelphia. He made some key shots in the game last night. He outscored Harden. He was a plus 13 on Harden. Yeah. And, you know, Sixer fans, I mean, you know, again, they're real. Yeah, they booed Ben Simmons. And then they booed their team. I don't know how much that helped the effort, booing the team, but, you know, they booed them. These are your people.
Well, yeah, they were atrocious last night. But again, for me at least, I'm not panicking. Because I actually saw this kind of game coming. Because I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but since they've gotten Harden, the defense and rebounding, although it's been like this most of the year, I shouldn't say that. The defense and rebounding, especially in this latest stretch here, has been pretty atrocious. And they've been getting themselves in holes a lot. And if you do that against a team like the Nets when they have everybody like last night, then yeah, that's what happens. You're going to get your rear end handed to you.
So you're saying since they got Harden, they're not rebounding as well?
It's been like that all year, but it hasn't been great.
Since they got Harden, then I wonder why that's happened. Huh.
But until last night, though, Harden, you can't put this fully on Harden, though. Because ever since he came on the Sixers, except last night, he was averaging almost a triple-double. He almost had a triple-double almost every night.
Yeah, okay. And his playoff history is what?
I get it, but we'll worry about that then.
No. No, the difference is I get it. Okay, I've been trying to tell you.
No, I do get it.
He is an ultra-talented player, no question. But in big moments, you're like, okay. Not seeing it. All right. But that's a side story. I just thought the irony. They booed Ben Simmons to start the game. They booed their own team at the end. Welcome to the city of brotherly love. It is fun, believe me. It's actually very entertaining in some parts. You don't find it entertaining for some odd reason. I don't know why.
Well, considering the night I had overall last night, I'm you know, that was the least of my worries, actually. Because Bucknell women are in the Patriot League championship game.
Good.
So it was still a good night for me last night.
They're a terrific, terrific team. I know we tried, by the way, we tried to get Kelly on the show today, but they're practicing now. And believe me, at this time of the year, especially, you know, work to be done. I mean, and you know, it's a lot of film work, things like that. I mean, I'll give you a pattern of what I've been doing. So this is what I've been doing. I got in here on Tuesday night. Okay, I was all ready to go, so I didn't have to do any other work there. But then Wednesday, yeah, you go to film work. Then you go to the arena and they shoot. Then they come back and do a walkthrough. Okay, then I do the two shows. Then I go to the next walkthrough, and then I tape the pregame with Micah. Then go and do the game. Okay, get back from the game, and it was an 8:30 game, so I got back here at, I don't know what time they get back here, midnight, something like that. And so I have to update everything as to what I'm doing. So I work till about 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 1:15, got that all done, went to sleep, got up, revised a few things because there's certain analytics that they don't update until the next morning. Revised that, went down, printed it, went over, went to the film session, went over to Hinkle Fieldhouse, went to practice and shoot around, came back, did the show, then went downstairs, went to the walkthrough in the film session, did the pregame with Micah, went to the arena, did the game, got back last night about, I guess I got back just after midnight, worked until about 1:30 this morning. Now, remember, you try to play this smart. I had Ohio State and Purdue already done on Monday because they're not playing any games until they play Penn State. So I had them done. So I'm only working on Penn State till 1:30 in the morning. Then got up this morning, went down, went to the film work. So, there's a lot of film work, practice, the whole thing. They went back to Hinkle today, did the walk through there, took a few shots, came back. I'm here doing the show, and then later I'm going to get Micah. That's film first, then Micah, then go over and do the game. So, Kelly's busy. I can understand why Kelly's busy because I'm seeing it for myself over and over again on this end here. And they're preparing for a title and an automatic bid, Bucknell is, to the NCAA tournament. That's the key, the automatic bid. Now, what day is that going to be?
Sunday, noon, at American.
I think it used to be called Bender Arena, right?
I think that is still the case.
Ever tell you my Bender Arena story?
No.
Okay, so Penn State, this is years ago. Bruce Parkhill's the coach. Penn State's going to play American. So I'm with Frank Cardenia. And we're driving down. Frank says, yeah, I've been there. It's no big deal. They used to be in the same conference as East Carolina, and Frank had worked at East Carolina. I said, okay, wonderful, all right, cool. So we get down there. He makes a turn, pulls up to the gym. We're at Georgetown. I said, this is McDonough Gym, Frank. He says, what? I said, this is McDonough Gym. We're at Georgetown. Oh. So now we're trying to pick our way through here to try and find it. And we're on the air at 6:30 after stopping three times for directions. We finally get there, and I run into the building at 6:21, and then I do the pregame with Bruce, and all of a sudden, and I did this quick 2-minute setup, boom, and was on the air at 6:30. But I'm like, I've been there.
Yeah, that's not fun. I've been there too.
Oh my goodness. He said he knew where it was. I was like, why am I supposed to doubt it? He actually been there before. I never had been. Next time, I'm driving. I'll take a chance on me. All right, we will take a break. Good night for Bucknell women's basketball. It's a great night. Now, finish the job at American. Now, they obviously must have played twice this year, right?
They did. Split the regular season series. Home teams won.
All right.
But this is definitely the better matchup for Bucknell, or else they would have played at Boston U, where they've been swept by the Terriers this year. And so this was good. This sets up well for Bucknell, I think.
Yeah, they have better restaurants in Boston, though. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
FOULED, that spells founder.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Such pleasure to be with you here in Indianapolis on this Friday afternoon. A little bit of snow headed into our area tomorrow, so just be safe with that. Matt it is in his usual panic mode for some odd reason.
No, I am good today. It's a good day. Bucknell wins last night. Penn State gets the comeback win last night. Sixers stink up the place, but they got some time to get it right.
Okay. Yeah. I always feel better if they were playing upper echelon teams and beating them. Yeah. Although I thought the two wins over the Knicks were actually pretty impressive. Didn't you think so?
Yeah, they're all right, I guess.
No, there's no such thing as an impressive win over the Knicks. All right, so it's like you do the expected, you win the thing, move on. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So we have Brian Tripp today. Penn State men's hockey team will be playing in the Big Ten semifinals, and this is, while the quarterfinals are best of three, the semifinals and the final happen to be one game. Well, you got one shot, and it's a good matchup against Minnesota. We'll talk to Brian about that in the next half hour. The next week, okay, that's in Minneapolis. That'll be at Mariucci. Next week, it is going to be the NCAA Wrestling Championships in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, the palace that Mike Ilitch built. And home of the Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. Beautiful arena by all accounts, right in downtown Detroit, as a matter of fact. And we'll talk with Jeff Byers at 4:06 today, then the King today. I don't know how we're doing picks today. Are we doing picks with the King?
As far as I'm aware, but we have to also settle our brackets. We'll have to do those next week, I guess, with Selection Sunday being this Sunday.
Yeah. It is Selection Sunday. Kick back and do that. So that'll be, we'll take care of that when we cross that bridge. And, of course, baseball's going to play now, so the suit's all set for that big Texas Rangers series, as he became the first person in the history of ticket buying to actually, say, no, I want Rangers tickets.
Oh, my almighty!
What? It's like saying I want to go to the St. Petersburg Grand Prix. It's like, no, nobody goes. Everybody just kind of freeloads their way in. That's the first IndyCar race of the season, by the way, St. Petersburg. Home of the Rays. These are your people.
Well, it's no, St. Petersburg, I actually agree. We're another place, the Tropicana Field, where else nobody cares.
Well, you know what, to be honest with you, they badly need that ballpark on the other side of the bay. They really do. That's where really all the action is. And, I know the Rays tried to get a ballpark in Ybor City, and that fell through. But that actually is the right place to build the park. Right. I mean, having the mausoleum in St. Petersburg does not help them. Especially, did you hear what happened? Obviously, I was just down there, 2.5 months ago. One of the bridges that goes over from Tampa to St. Pete was struck by a ship. They've been trying to repair it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you here in Indianapolis. Yeah, we've had some snow here today. It's also cold here today. Snow on track for tomorrow in the valley. What are they calling for? What, 3 to 6 in the valley? Does that sound right?
Approximately, yeah. 3 to 6, 5 to 7. Somewhere in that range.
Wow. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. So why don't you stock up for the weekend now? Why don't you go out? There's a little bit of snow tomorrow? Fine. Stock up tonight. Go on over. Get the best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews. wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear everybody in Sealands Grove. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors mobile studio today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important. Great sales staff works with you. Your trade-in's never been worth more. They want to do everything they can to save you money, especially in these times. And the service department, outstanding. I don't care if it's routine, inspections, diagnostics, body work, they handle it all. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Big Ten tournament at the Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. And 13:50 to play, and Iowa, which led by 9 at halftime, now leads by 11, 56-45 over Rutgers. And Philip Rabracha has a chance at a 3-point play here, try and make it 12. Earlier, Indiana knocked out the number one seed. So Indiana beat Michigan yesterday, rallying from 17 down to win in the second half. And then today beat the number one seed, Illinois, 65-63. Also, in the SEC tournament today, Texas A&M knocked out Auburn. Interesting. All right. Matt, you okay? I just want to make sure, you know, the audience is always, I mean, the audience now is really now starting to pick up on your inner anger.
No, I'm good. I have no anger today, even with the Sixers. I have no anger today.
It's March. Nobody cares what the Sixers are doing.
I am solely focused on college hoops right now. I'm of course the Sixers, but it's all right. We're all good.
You know what? Let's get Kate Scott on the show when you get a chance. It'd be great to get Kate back on.
Absolutely.
All right. She has done a phenomenal job. I mean, people in Philly, they love her, right?
I love her. She's fantastic.
She's outstanding. Her and Ala Abdelnaby, heck. You know, obviously, I kind of pick a spot in the schedule. Kate's got a couple minutes, and then we'll go from there. You know, then we'll get this, you know, straight skinning as to why they're not really that good. No, I'm just kidding. They're one of the problem is that the East, while the West always seems loaded, boy, you look at Miami's playing great. I mean, they're the one. Milwaukee. Yeah, even though Brooklyn's back of the pack, when they've got everybody, you feel like they're a huge threat. The Celtics are now playing. The last 3 weeks, the Celtics have been playing great. In fact, really the last month, and Tatum's really playing now. And Philadelphia's there. So it's not an easy path. It's not an easy path. Now, do I make the Harden trade? Yeah, I make the Harden trade. No question. All right, let's talk hockey now. Let's talk about pucks. Let's talk about the Flyers. Nobody goes to their games anymore. I mean, have you seen the pictures of the building when the Flyers play? It's shocking.
Oh, it's bad.
I never thought in my lifetime I would see that. Never. I always felt the Flyers were an automatic sellout because, look, Philadelphia is a great hockey town. And, wow. Penn State hockey, though, lost the opening game to Ohio State in the best of three, and then in Columbus won Saturday and Sunday to advance. Now it is a one-off. They play Minnesota, no best of three. One game to go to the Big Ten Finals. Brian Tripp is the voice of Penn State hockey. Brian, great to have you with us.
Steve, thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Let's start with last weekend. The two wins back-to-back. I texted you on Saturday night and said, look, they'll go into Sunday with a lot of confidence. It seems like they played that way.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I thought on Friday night they actually played fairly well. It was just a couple of major breakdowns. Ohio State, three of their four goals came on breakaways, and they tidied things up defensively. And look, when we start talking about Penn State hockey over the nine seasons in Division I in the Big Ten with Guy Gadowski, it's been about offense, 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 and understandably so. They like to shoot the puck a lot. They are dictated by scoring goals. But I thought the adjustments they made defensively in the series and what they did with Liam Soulier in goal on Saturday and Sunday were really outstanding against a team that was top 10 in the nation in scoring. So I think it all started there, and then they were able to come up with some timely goals. But they're a team that's playing their best at the end of the year. I think they're really confident because of those two wins they had back-to-back. And even the way they finished Friday night, they had a really strong third period. I think that carried over into Saturday. Saturday rolled into Sunday. And now you go on the road to Minnesota, a place where they've already won this year. And I think they feel like, hey, it's just a one-game semifinal. Anything can happen.
You do need, at this time of the year, a goalie that occasionally will not only, I mean, obviously has to be solid, but every once in a while will stand on his head. What has allowed Liam to really excel of late for Penn State?
Yeah, I think that's a great point and a great observation. And I thought in the closing minutes when Ohio State was coming with absolutely everything they had on Saturday and Sunday, he made some just outstanding stops where, look, throughout the course of the game, he made every save he needed to. I don't think he was tested all that frequently. But in the home stretch of those games, there were some saves that he was not expected to make and made. And it all starts in hockey. If you're confident in your goaltender, that confidence will go out to the defensemen and the forwards in front of him, all the other 19 guys that play on that ice. So I think when you have a goalie that's hot and a goalie that's confident, the rest of the team feels that way as well. And it takes a little bit of pressure off everyone else with what they're doing in front of that goaltender. And I think not only is he really good in goal, Steve, I thought he was really confident and strong playing the puck. I think his ability to play the puck does a lot of things for them and takes some pressure off their defensemen in their own zone because he's really confident in handling the puck as well.
How did you feel about how Penn State controlled the pace of the last two games?
Yeah, I think they were able to play to their identity more so than Ohio State. The shots total in terms of shots on goal and total shots attempted would indicate that. I just think the way Ohio State plays, they're such a heavy physical team, especially defensively. They're not a team that traditionally you're going to be able to get into a track meet with. You're going to be able to get some chances against them just because they want to play fairly fast as well. But it looked like and felt like Penn State hockey games. It wasn't one where it was back and forth with odd man rush after odd man rush after odd man rush. Because quite honestly, that happened on Friday night, and it didn't behoove Penn State. Ohio State got three breakaways, scored on all three of them, and those were the major mistakes that cost them the game. So I think Penn State was more opportunistic in the games on Saturday and Sunday, but they were still able, when we talk about what they want to do, it's get pucks in deep, cycle pucks, and play. The best defense is a great offense. And when you can have the puck at the other end of the ice, the team can't score, and I felt like they were able to do that for pretty good stretches.
Which then brings up Minnesota. Even the two games at Pagula were right down to the wire. I mean, both were down to the wire. What makes this a good matchup, especially in a one-off?
Yeah, you talk about the Penn State going 1-3 against Minnesota this year, and obviously I think both teams are different teams than they were back in November. But the three losses, as you said, the two at Pagula went to the wire, and the one loss Penn State had at Minnesota against them, they're all games that were decided by one goal, and Minnesota scored an empty netter late to make it a two-goal defeat. So they've been in every single game against the team that, in my mind, is the favorite, if not one of the top four favorites, to win the national championship this year. Why is it a good matchup? Well, I think Penn State's style, I think they're confident against Minnesota just because of the sustained success they've had over the last five seasons against them. I think their style of play can work against Minnesota because Minnesota, what they do, look, they are deep and talented offensively. They are really, really good. Probably have the conference player of the year, center Ben Myers, Sammy Walker, Blake McLaughlin, Matthew Nyes. They're really talented offensively. But what they have in their defense core is exceptional. And I think the defensemen can drive the game for Minnesota with their ability to move pucks out of their own end and start rushes for them. And I think because Penn State will play a style where you can chip it in deep, you can get after the puck, you can retrieve pucks, you can play fast through the neutral zone, I think that puts some pressure on those defensemen. So I think the key for them and why they've had success against Minnesota when they've had strong stretches against them is they don't let those defensemen, who are exceptional, get comfortable. And they're not used to being uncomfortable because they are so darn good.
Well, I always feel like you take a look at the bracket and you'll say, well, they're on the right side of the bracket. Now, Minnesota's terrific and talented, but I feel like it's a better matchup than Michigan.
I completely agree. And I thought when you came in, look, they reseed. But you felt like, okay, going into the last weekend of the regular season, out of the four teams that Penn State could potentially play in the first round, who's the team that you feel most confident against? And I think it was Ohio State, just having lost their top defenseman. They were on a bye week. You know you're going to go into their building. It's not a hostile environment. And you played tough against them every time this year. I felt like even though Penn State finished 22 points behind them in the regular season series, that they weren't, there wasn't that much of a gap between the two teams. And look, that's how it played out. Played three terrific playoff games. Every game could have gone either way. And then you think, okay, yeah. What's the matchup next?
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to say, then the matchup after that, you think, well, do you want to go to Michigan or Notre Dame or is it Minnesota? And I agree. I think Minnesota, just because of the success Penn State's had against them, they've played them well this year, that there's actually a road here now that you go to Minnesota. Michigan's hosting Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's won all four games this year. And all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so far-fetched that all of a sudden you could be in a Big Ten championship game against a team like Notre Dame, where I think, you know, you match up fairly well against them too. So all of a sudden, if you just start to look at a bracket matchup, and look, they have to go on the road and beat a team that's number two in the country and it has a chance to win the national championship this year. I got it. But there at least is a path there, and it's all because of the way the matchups worked out.
When the two games at Pagula, which of course were the most recent ones, I felt Minnesota, we talked about Liam standing on his head at times. I thought there were times where he stood on his head against Penn State. I mean, that's what, I mean, I was like, boy, this kid can play.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I think that's the surprise with them, because for those who don't know the story, their goaltender, who was the Richter Award winner last year, Jack LaFontaine, signed with Carolina on January 9th. So their goalie last year that was the backup transferred to Wisconsin, Jared Moe. So now all of a sudden they're down to this kid who was recruited. He was a two-time league goaltender of the year in juniors. But he was essentially there, very little money, if any money at all. And he's a third-string goalie who hasn't played. I think he played in five games his first 2 years. And he's thrown in as the starter for a team that has the expectation to go and compete for a national championship. The LaFontaine kid is huge. This guy's only 5'9", 5'10", at best. And all he's done is put up unbelievable numbers. I think he's going to win Conference Goaltender of the Year because his save percentage is around .935, and his goals against is like 1.7. And I get he's playing with great guys in front of him, but I think he's been unbelievable. He's made not only the easy saves, he's made the tough saves. He's confident, and he seems to get better and better every week. So I completely agree with that observation. And the reason is, it's amazing, is it's just such a surprise. Really came out of nowhere. No one expected him to be this good. That said, still his first playoff start with high expectations. So I think one of the keys, get traffic, get pucks to him early and see how he handles it. One of the two games he struggled in this year was against Penn State. Fortunately for him, his offense scored six goals in that game. They came back to win it.
Which then brings it back to, okay, unexpected sources. Penn State gets a guy that joins this semester, comes out of a league that doesn't normally produce players of this caliber, and he's the hero against Ohio State.
Yeah, Dylan Lugras with the goal on Saturday and then the game-winning goal on Sunday, and I had a chance to talk to him earlier this week, and just to hear his thought process on his shooting on the game-winning goal was remarkable. So earlier in the third period on a power play, he got the shot from nearly the same spot from the left wing circle, and he one-timed it, and the goalie slid across and made the save. Same thing happens later in the game when he scores the game winner with about 6 minutes left, gets a pass from the other boards all the way across into the left wing circle, and instead of one-timing the puck, he realized that earlier in the game on the power play, the goalie transitioned across, big kid, Dobesh, 6'4", huge. And he went from left to right across and stopped him. So what did he do? He held it for a split second, waited for the goalie to come across, and shot back across the net because the goalie was out of position then coming all the way across the net for the one-timer. And you know, like, for a kid, that just shows his hockey smarts and his IQ. And one of the things I think has really benefited him, Steve, is he's played with Connor McCaughrean and Connor McMenamin, who play a very fast game, who've been around the block. And they're the best players he's ever played with in his career just because of where he's come from and where he's been. And I think you can see him getting more comfortable, getting more confident. And I think he's a guy that can really help this team moving forward, not just this year, but he's going to find a nice little niche with the team moving forward. And obviously he's clutch, so you'd love to see that.
And again, all credit to the guys. I mean, this is not a league you normally get players out of. And they saw something in him. And I'm again, that ability to find that diamond in the rough, this guy and his coaching staff were able to do that with this kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know at that point of the year, and look, right now, this past weekend, they had Clayton Phillips and Chase McLean both scratched, and they're both hurt. So they had no healthy scratches. So they needed a body. But Guy said they didn't just get him because they need a body. If they were going to do it, it's still going to be a kid who's the right fit, that can contribute, that can benefit the team from its culture, but also what he can contribute on the ice. So it wasn't just, all right, we need anyone. They went through their homework on dozens and dozens of players. Granted, they expedited the process. And you could get, look, it doesn't have to be just from a junior league. With the transfer portal, guys are in the transfer portal midseason. It could have been another college player that they felt like bringing in. But they felt like this was the best kid in the best spot. And here he is.
College is now the waiver wire. It's just unbelievable. Midseason, who can we pick up on waivers? Oh, look, E.J. Liddell's in the portal. Hey, no. What do you think, E.J.? I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Well, you got the show tonight with Kale. You got a lot to talk about with him, you know, and it's official. The coup d'etat is on.
I'll try to hold down the fort. I'll have a burger for you from the field. And yeah, I heard that wrestling program they have here is pretty darn good.
Yeah, he did Dick and I last night. You hear that one? Last night, Dick said, "I heard they're pretty good. I heard the coach is rather accomplished." you know how dry Dick is all the time?
Yeah.
He's so dry. I heard he's rather accomplished. I said, I believe he has hardware at many different levels in life.
Something we both can relate to.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I believe he has some hardware at many different levels in life. I thought, you know, if Dick was going to be dry about it, I will too, because it's the best program in any sport in the country. So
it's incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
Hey, have a cup of coffee or two or something to stay awake tonight. I know you said 9 o'clock, but by the time those first couple games end, it might be 9:30.
Yeah, Dick and I did a long pregame show last night as we were watching Fred Hoiberg use every timeout. Like, Fred, really, you don't need that timeout there. All right. Brian, thanks.
Well, at least Minnesota saved time on substitution.
Yes, they did, as a matter of fact. It also made it easier when I was doing my chart last night at 1 o'clock in the morning when I got the starters' points and bench points. Didn't have to touch that one.
Yeah, I think their hockey team may play more than 5 guys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, no, it got 12 minutes in the game last night, and I said, Dick, they're not going to substitute. This is going to be the Iron 5 all night. And you could just tell as the game went. Battle was 7 for his first 11. He's a terrific shooter. He missed his last 5. He had no legs. And it was really odd to see that. I mean, I know North Carolina did that to Duke on Saturday night, but they only did it for a half. I mean, he did it for the entire game.
Like, yeah, I've been thinking of tournament, too. Don't you think that's kind of crazy for a tournament, too? Because if they had won, I mean, those guys would have nothing in the tank for today.
Right, I mean they'd have rolled over tonight. They would have had no shot because those guys would have had no legs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that in a full game. I mean, I know Stevens played 45 seconds. I felt bad for the kid. They had to take him out. He had migraines, so you can just tell he just wasn't right, and they had to take him out right away. That's his mistake. Brian, thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. See ya.
All right, Brian Tripp and Penn State hockey tomorrow night at Minnesota at 9 is when they will drop the puck. Jeff Byers next half hour, Penn State wrestling, and we're going to have Jeff back on the show next Wednesday as well. you know, we do that for Matt's pre-planning purposes because, you know. Look, you didn't set it up, so we did. We're trying to take as much off your plate as possible because you're getting a little chippy lately. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet and News Radio 1070 W.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.